So we often ask questions, and what are we hoping to get with our questions is we're hoping to find something that you have in common, aren't you? So you start with broad things that you probably will have in common, and hopefully sort of fine-tune it down, you know. So you're looking for sameness, because when you hit upon something that's the same, I mean, you probably had examples of this where maybe someone's talking, for example, and you know that you don't have any rapport with this person at all, and you're just about to leave, for example, and suddenly you just say something that suddenly is the same as this person. Suddenly you've got a connection you didn't have before. Like, I'm just about to go off, and I'm just about to go off. I've got to go and see Mary. Mary? Mary who? Oh, Mary Douglas. You know Mary Douglas? How do you know Mary Douglas? And suddenly you've got this rapport suddenly because you have a common interest. Suddenly it ignites again. You have this spark. But it's very hit and miss. So clearly one of the things we want to do in rapport is find something that's not hit and miss. Because where we come from rapport in terms of how we know how to build rapport comes from some studies that were done in the 1970s by two people, a guy called Birtwistle and another guy called Morabian, who were studying how people communicate in congruence to each other, as in how they tell whether they really mean what they're saying. And Birtwistle did a study, and his study said that 60% of our language, or the way people communicate in congruence to each other, was through their body language, and 40% of it was through the words and how people said the words. And then another, that was done from a study in the USA. The Morabian, a guy of the UK, did another study and chunked it down a bit further and found out that actually 55% of our communication is actually in the physiology. And tonality, or the way we say the words, is 38%, and only 7% is the words themselves. Now, when we're having a conversation with somebody to build rapport, what we're actually doing is we're concentrating all our area here and trying to find things that we have in common, words that we can find that we have in common with someone. And yet it only has influence of 7%. What makes much more difference is a whacking like 93% going on that's almost unspoken through the voice, tonality, and the physiology. So we want to be able to use, obviously, the whole 100% bandwidth. So we want to don't just want to be using the words, we want to be using the words, the tonality, and the physiology. The words are still important. We're not saying words aren't important, but now it's only 7% of the responsibility in actually creating rapport. It's all here, okay? So what we want to do is create this thing called matching and mirroring. Now, you guys have already done this already in the past. You do it all the time. It's not something that's new to you. And as you sit there right now, you're probably in rapport or not in rapport with people right now. I mean, just take the person sitting next to you and have a look and see who you're in rapport with right now. We have a couple of people in the front in rapport here. Yeah? People that you've done the exercise with or sitting next to you, probably closely in rapport. Because what are some of the things that we can do to match and mirror are the physiology and the voice tonality. And there was three main processes that we can match and mirror. We've got matching, mirroring, and crossover mirroring are the three main indicators. So if you raise your right hand now, and I raise my right hand, what am I doing? Am I matching or am I mirroring? Which one? Okay, I'm matching. Now, if you keep your hand there and I raise my left hand, what am I doing now? Mirroring. Okay, so which one has most impact? Doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Okay? Matching and mirroring doesn't really matter which one has the most impact. Some studies have been done. They're not really conclusive in my opinion. So, either you're matching or mirroring, it doesn't really matter. Well, really, some instances, it's easier to do matching or mirroring in some circumstances, depending on your body posture and where you're sitting and where you're standing, for example. Other than that, it doesn't really matter. So let's have a look now at some of the things that we can match and mirror, because we want to concentrate on what has the most impact. Let's concentrate on the physiology itself. What are some of the things that we can match and mirror in physiology? Because what does physiology mean? It means body language, right? So what are some of the things that we can match and mirror in body language? Posture is one. So what about the posture specifically? Give me some more direction on that. upright or leaning, yes, great. Head position on the shoulders, yeah, that's good. What else? Legs and arms, are they crossed, are they folded, are they open, for example? Is the person side on to you? Are they square on to you? What is it? You know, there's loads of different things you can match. Mirror angle of the spine, for example, another one you can do. So there's lots of things with posture. What else can we match and mirror? Gestures. Who said that? Yeah, gestures is a good one as well. So you'll notice that people have particular gestures when they're doing certain things. So when they're making, for example, saying a particular word or a phrase, they may do particular gestures when they're doing that, for example, you see? Or they may, for example, when they're making a point, they may point, for example. Or they may say, you know, okay, for example, when they're using the word okay. Or they may do a whole number of things. They may just, generally speaking, you know, have their arms flowing like this when they're talking, for example, yeah? So obviously when you're matching mirroring, you want to be doing this when you're talking, okay? Obviously not when they're talking. So they're talking going like this and you're sitting there going like, all right, yeah. That's probably not going to work, is it? And why wouldn't it work? Why wouldn't that work, by the way? Because you are matching and mirroring, but why wouldn't it work? Yeah, it's too obvious. It's basically too obvious. That's the problem. You're matching and mirroring. You want to make it subtle with it. So, like, you know, if they cross their legs, for example, it's not like, okay, you know, it's not like you suddenly do it. They cross their legs and do that. What you do is you might wait a few moments, for example, and then, you know, just at a subtle moment when it's right, you know, you might cross your legs, for example. So it's not like you're like... And the other thing is you don't have to match and mirror every single thing in order to have rapport, you know. Just one or two things will work, yeah? So you have to get anal about it. Just a few things will work for you, provided you do them really, really well. The thing about this is, in the real world out there, people don't know. They're not focusing on the fact that you're matching and mirroring them. They're so caught up in their own content that they're not looking at the context or the structure of what you're doing around it. So a lot of people have this challenge and think like, well, it's copying and I feel a bit uncomfortable with that. But the thing is, you're doing it anyway. The challenge is what most of us do is we wait until our words match before we put our bodies in match. And this is hit and miss. What we're saying is do it the other way around. Put your bodies in match and then what will happen is you'll find words that match much more easily. Well, it won't matter if they don't match because you've already got something else in match that's much, much more powerful. Because from an unconscious point of view, what's happening is the other person thinks, ah, they're like me, therefore I like them, because you're looking at a mirror image of yourself effectively. So that's very, very powerful. What else can we match in the mirror? We've got gestures, posture, what else? Okay, breathing, let's talk about that briefly. So breathing, absolutely. What is it about breathing we can match in mirror? So rate of the breathing, absolutely. So again, the rate and also location again, okay? So again, when we match and mirror somebody's breathing, it is a difficult thing, skill to get into because obviously it's a skill you have to be highly sensory acuity to notice it. And one of the ways that you can, tips that you can do with somebody is that when that person's speaking, they're breathing out. So if you want to get in rapport, you can just test this with me right now, okay? I'm speaking out the whole time at the moment, so you should be breathing out the whole time that I'm speaking right at the moment. And as soon as I stopped just for a moment, I took a breath, and now I'm breathing out again. Can you follow me? Do that, try that with me again. So I'm breathing out the whole time now, so you should be breathing out consistently with me the whole time. And some of you be struggling because your lungs are not quite as big as mine. That's it. Well, you'll have people like that. And what I do is they go long, along, 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 and they just take a very quick, sharp breath in between, like that, and then go again. And so what you'll need to do is, you know, all the whole time you're like, no, within reason, obviously, you're breathing out the whole time. It's a rhythmic process you go through, so you want to follow the same. But some people are in a rhythm with their speak, but, you know, somebody who's in a highly visual state, because they're a visual person, they're not in a calm, relaxed state. They're in a very sort of fast-paced, kind of rigid, getting out there, kind of punchy kind of state. So if you're there in a really relaxed state, for example, then that's not going to work. So you want to be up time, for example, breathing that far, taking that short breath in between, breathing out again. And because when you do that, you will have so much rapport with the other person at the unconscious level. It's absolutely amazing when you do that. What else can we match and mirror other than that? Facial expressions, yes. So face expressions, you know, eyebrows, for example, Also, the way they hold their mouth, for example. Anything at all to be facial expression, we can match and mirror those. Again, we would do those when we were speaking, not when they were speaking necessarily, okay? So I remember one guy, for example, one guy in my other company that I used to run, one of the things he used to do is, whenever he was listening to you speak, he'd do this. Every now and again, he'd do this. Just every now and again, for no reason at all, he'd just do that. So then every now and again, whenever he's talking to me, I would just subtly do that. And he'd never know. The whole time I've known him, 5-6 years, he'd never known that I've done that. And he doesn't even know himself that he does that. So how's he going to recognize that I'm doing it? Because some of your stuff, gestures that you make are so unconscious to you, you don't even know that you're doing them all the time, right? So it's really, really powerful when you're doing them, because it's all happening at the unconscious level. This all comes from Milton Erickson and modeling him, because this is how he was able to create hypnotic rapport with so many people, so many of his clients, is because he just got himself into such a great state himself. And then what he did was he matched and mirrored them. And then what he did was then he just went into trance himself, and then they went into trance very easily. Nobody could be around Milton Erickson for more than 5 minutes without going into a trance, because he was just an absolute master at it. And so matching and mirroring is something that's very natural. You do it all the time. A couple other things you can match and mirror are blinking rates. The rate that somebody blinks at, for example. Some people stare for a long period of time without blinking. Some people blink an awful lot when they're talking, for example. They'll talk. Or when they talk, they might nod their head and blink like this, for example. A whole multitude of different things. For as many different people, there's many different things they do when they're speaking or when they're listening. And also proximity is another one. So the proximity, the distance that somebody's comfortable talking to you at. So as a generalization, you know, if someone's visual as their primary representational system, then probably they want to stand a bit of a distance back from you because they want to take the whole of you in because they're visual. Whereas if you're someone kinesthetic, where they want to be? In close, because they want to be able to touch you. They want to be able to reach out and touch you just in case, because touching you gives them lots of information about you. Yeah, it gives them lots more information, whereas the visual sense is better for some other people. Whereas other people, for example, more auditory, as I am, for example, rather than talk some space onto you, I'll turn side onto you so my ear's right next to where you're speaking, because that's why I want to lean in with my ear rather than take you all in visually, because I'm a little bit more auditorily. Yeah, so there's a whole number of things. You want to judge all these things the whole time and match and mirror those things, because as you become aware of it, I know it seems like this is a technique, for example, oh, it's rapport, you know, it's nothing. This is massive. If you get rapport, everything else can work that much easier for you.